Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, welcome to Blue Wire. After you finish listening to this awesome Blue Wire podcast, make sure you check out the other pods in our Blue Wire family. Okay, I know, you're probably wondering, how do I do that? Well, it's simple. Go to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and search Blue Wire. Ta-da! They will all be there, so have fun listening.
What's going on, everyone? This is episode 96 of Buzz Beat. I am Richie, and will be joined, as always, by Brian and Spencer. Just a reminder, BuzzBeat is a proud member of the Blue Wire Network. You can find our episodes on bluewirepods.com, Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher. It's also be awesome if you guys can give our podcast a rating and review on iTunes. On this episode, we'll be bringing on NBA writer and reporter for SB Nation, Christian Winfield.
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. And he wrote a piece on Kemba Walker about a month ago titled "Kemba Walker is Always the Surprise Star." So definitely give that a read. We'll be discussing that piece as well as everything Kemba. And let the listeners know where they can find you online, your social media, and all that stuff.
Sure. SBNation.com/NBA. These people paid me to watch basketball and talk to people and write stories about what I see and what I hear. So that's where you can find my work. I'm on Twitter. You can find me, Christian Winfield, with a K. That's at Chris Splashed, K-R-I-S-P-L-A-S-H-E-D. Yeah, for the most part, that's where you can find me, Twitter, SBNation.com, and the occasional podcast like I'm here on here today.
Very good. Well, so we're going to talk about your piece for a little bit and just talk about Kemba in general. This is very timely because Kemba just went off in overtime against the Spurs, and the Hornets picked up their 35th win of the season. So in your piece, Christian, you discuss how Kemba had a gradual rise in high school, a gradual rise in college, a gradual rise in the NBA. My first question to you is, what about his play throughout his career has stood out to you the most?
Just how he finds ways to continue to get better. This is the guy who in high school you would stand maybe 5, 6, 7 feet away from him if he was at the 3-point line, you know, and now he's coming up shooting pull-up threes, and he's attempting almost 10 a game, I feel like, and he's actually a threat from there. This is a guy, he's kind of self-made, you know. When he first started playing basketball, he was just a lightning quick guard who would get by people. You know, he had a crazy crossover. He learned how to get a step back in college, and he's kind of like the prototypical type of star. You know, he's a guy who loves his community, who tries to give back. You know, he's a guy, I think he's won the sportsmanship, what is it, 3 years in a row, 2 years in a row, however many times in a row. He's just like a really, really solid guy. And on top of that, he just continually finds ways to improve. He's a guy who you never hear anything negative about him. You know, you never hear him bad mouthing anybody. He's a guy who's humble. There's so many different things to like about Kemba Walker that you can't just pick out one. But if I had to pick out just one thing, it's just how he's just turned himself into a star. He told me not too long ago when I was speaking to him for this story that he didn't expect his career to kind of traject the way it did. And that's just a testament to how much work he puts in plain sight and behind the scenes. It's a great story. And he's just an incredible person. You can't be more happy for anyone.
Exactly. We've talked about this on the podcast a lot. You know, in the first 4 years, he averaged 32% from behind the arc. In the last 4 years, he's averaged 38% from behind the arc. And he's also doing it with more shots from behind the arc. So that quantity plus the efficiency is just a great combination to have. And then throughout the course of his years, his assist numbers have kind of been steady throughout, but it just seems like he's getting better at passing, even though his assist numbers aren't necessarily going up. You just see some crazy assists that he has throughout the course of this season, especially, which he's had the most assists this year since 13-14 in his career. Brian and Spencer, do you guys have anything to add about, you know, Kemba and just the thing that has stood out to you guys the most about his career?
There's so many different things you could talk about with how far he's come, and, you know, the crossover, obviously, as you guys were talking about, is, you know, example 1A when you talk about Kemba Walker and who he is as a basketball player, but yeah, adding the three-point shot and adding the sidestep, and I mean, how much better he's gotten at finishing at the rim, how much better he's gotten at getting to the free throw line, and, you know, being as small as he is, you know, sometimes the efficiency, you know, vacillates a little bit there, but, you know, he's a fearless guy, and, you know, Richie, you said it a minute ago, I mean, tonight, that's got to be, he's played a lot of great games this year, and that's probably why he's going to make All-NBA, at least third team, but tonight, I thought, was maybe his most complete performance of the season, so this seems pretty timely to be having this this podcast, but, I mean, the accolades are all over the place for Kemba.
Yeah, he's, like you guys have said, he is kind of this, he's kind of an ideal, like, workman's, like, superstar in a way. And it's been, it's hard to think of a better star for not just the market in Charlotte, but, like, how the team is constructed around him. Because all the skills, all the ability to shoot from basically anywhere on the court, to be a diet Steph Curry, to be a diet Dame Lillard out there, you know, he needs that range. He needs the ability to create space at any point in time. But as we all know, you know, the lack of a number two star that's been around him his entire career in Charlotte, like, I think a lot of guys would have made, they would have complained about it. They would have used it as an excuse. They would have, you know, gone at the franchise through the media or whatever. Maybe not. Maybe I'm projecting a little bit there, but Kemba hasn't done any of that. The guy puts his head down, and Christian, you know, he or someone else said this about him in your piece, like, all the guy cares about is winning. Uh-huh. Like, he doesn't, like he knows that he has to put up numbers for Charlotte to win, but, like, ultimately, at the end of the day, like, he just wants a W, and that's why he's been so much fun to have him in this market and stuff like that, but B, why it's been frustrating that the team has ultimately lacked, you know, any sort of postseason success, because this guy feels like he's built. And we saw it at UConn, and you'd like to see it in the NBA, like a big postseason run.
100%.
And that kind of segues to my next point. You know, Brian, you're talking about the fact that, you know, Kemba's had to put up with the worst team in the NBA's history in terms of percentage points, and he doesn't complain. He wants to win. So he's been with this organization for 8 seasons, and this summer he's going to have the opportunity to test that market. Do you think Kemba will end up in Charlotte and re-sign with the Hornets, or do you think he'll go somewhere else and kind of test the waters a little bit?
I think that depends on if you guys make the playoffs or not, to be honest. He's a guy who really, really wants to play some meaningful basketball. I think if you guys make the playoffs, he'll think about it. I think any other outcome and he's gone. You know, I thought that you guys really – well, I don't want to say you guys, because it's not your team. Well, it's not – you're not of this team. You know what I'm saying? But I think that Charlotte really blew it by not going and getting Marc Gasol. I think they had a chance to get him. And obviously, you got it's tough when you look at the cap sheet that you have and the roster and the pieces that you would have to send out. And nobody wants Nick Batum's contract. And you guys have a lot of – what is that? Michael Kidd-Gilchrist has a pretty wild contract. You guys have a it's pretty ugly when you look at it. But and it's going to be even harder to move in the summer if you're not, like, coupling it with pieces, with, like, draft picks. And then you got Miles Bridges, who's playing pretty well, but you don't want to trade him because he's a piece that you can build around. And then you got Malik Monk, who we don't know what he's going to be yet. My gut reaction tells me one way or another, I think he's going to end up leaving. It's just a matter of where is he going to go. Obviously, Charlotte can pay him more money than anybody else. But when I spoke to him, and I spoke to Coach Jim Calhoun, they both said the same thing. He doesn't care about money. This guy wants to win. And if he's not going to be able to win in Charlotte, I don't know if he's going to stick around. But there's one thing that I do know, is that this guy loves the city of Charlotte. Like, he endears. As soon as he got drafted there, he moved his whole family down, everybody went down there, he's been down there ever since. He wants to stay there, he wants to win there. It's just a matter of, if can Charlotte get the players necessary to put around him. They couldn't get a trade for Jimmy Butler, couldn't get a trade for Kawhi Leonard, couldn't even get a trade for Marc Gasol. You know, there are a lot of opportunities there, and they hamstrung themselves with these contracts. So if I was a betting man, I'd bet Kemba Walker leaves. The question after that is, where does he go?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a question that, you know, we're not really sure. Does he go to New York? Does he go to the Clippers? Does he go play with LeBron? There's a couple possibilities that are more attractive than Charlotte, unfortunately, right now. And it's sad because he really enjoys that city.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we've always heard. He's enjoyed the city. He's spoken very highly of the city, the organization. And the one thing that Charlotte can offer compared to other organizations is money. But we've said this, like, he doesn't necessarily care about the money per se, but more about the winning. And that's not the top selling point for Charlotte. It just isn't. It's the money. And so if you're trying to sell Kemba on coming back to this team, it's going to be hard to kind of compete with the other teams that have better rosters, better situations. And, you know, Kemba's kind of at the tail end of his career. He wants to go to a team that can compete and win. And Charlotte really's top selling point is just the money.
Right. And then there's like the flip side of this coin for Charlotte is, do you want to commit 5 years, however many, 185, 200 million, whatever the number is, to Kemba Walker when he's 28, going on 29, going on 30, paying him 40 something million dollars as a 32-year-old point guard. And then you're not going to be able to bring more players to help him until he's 30 because you have contracts that you can't move. Or do you want to let him walk and build around whatever you're going to pick, whoever you're going to draft? You're probably not going to be that good next year without Kemba Walker. So now your 2020 draft pick is looking pretty attractive, and now you can rebuild the right way. I think it's kind of like when you're in a relationship with somebody and you guys kind of both realize it's time to go the opposite way. They're at that point now, or they will be at that point, especially if they don't make the playoffs. I think they're going to be at that point where they're like, all right, you know, I think that I will be better off if you leave, and you'll probably be better off yourself if you leave. So let's hug. Let's get it on one more time and get up out of here.
Yeah, your points are good ones, Christian. We've talked it, and we've talked these scenarios to the point of exhaustion at this point on this podcast. I think that one of the things that we've said is the trade deadline was interesting. Looked like Charlotte was in the lead for Marcus Gasol, didn't get Marcus Gasol. You know, I think what we've all kind of discussed, and I think we agree on, you know, Richie, Brian, and I is, you know, how much would Marcus Gasol have really moved the needle for this team? I think the opinions would vary there, but I think if you're Kemba Walker and you love Charlotte as much as you do, and you are entertaining at least the idea of staying, and have been pretty consistent with that verbiage the whole way, I know he's a smart guy. You know he's a smart guy. Does making the playoffs and finishing, you know, 41-41 rather than 39-43 or whatever the number is, do those one or two or three games to get swept by Milwaukee or Toronto? Do you really think that hinges on his overall decision? Because I would think, to me, I would think that Kim was just a little bit smarter than that. I would say, look, if I'm staying in Charlotte, I'm staying in Charlotte because I'm playing the long game. And I understand that we really can't get better until we get off Nick Batum's contract. Or you mentioned all the bad contracts too. But that's where I have to take a step back and be like, does it really boil down to making the playoffs or not? And maybe it does. I mean, maybe it's just he wants to win that much. One game means that much to him. Maybe that's it. But that would be a little bit surprising to me, I think, at this point.
I definitely hear you on that. One point on the when you brought up the Marcus Gasol thing, moving the needle, I think it more so moves the needle in perception of front office trying to help. You know, if your team goes and gets Marcus Gasol, you're like, okay, well, we're trying. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to put some winners around you. Doing nothing whatsoever is not trying at all. On the other side of that, you know, making the playoffs, I mean, that's also an interesting point. I think it wouldn't hurt, obviously, to make the playoffs.
Sure.
And you can keep him. I'm not sure if it's the end-all, be-all of, okay, we're going to make the playoffs and we're going to stay. I think ultimately Kemba might decide to stay based on what the vision of this front office is. You know, I think that's what they need to figure out. Is there a way for them to get a star? Probably not. And that's what it's going to boil down to. This guy wants to play with somebody who maybe is better than him or at least on the same level as him. If he's not going to be able to do that and it's not looking like he's going to be able to do that in Charlotte, then I don't know if he stays. But at the same time, Kemba isn't like any of these other guys that you can compare him to. He's nothing like Jimmy Butler. You know, he's nothing like all these other guys. He's nothing like Anthony Davis, who's sitting out games and trying to force his way to somewhere. He's content with things that most people aren't content with. So, you know, I can't put anything past him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets out of it.
And I think you make the exact and the perfect point. And really what I think everyone should be focused on here is, you know, you said the front office and Kemba Walker, they got to figure out how to get on the same page about what the plan is. If they can do that, I think there can be a future together. But that's got to be happening right now, right, Christian? Like, while they're playing games, that communication has got to be going on. No one knows if it is or not, but yeah, it certainly is. As a Charlotte basketball fan, I hope it is, because that's really the only way, playoffs or not, it's the only way that they can feel comfortable going forward with this marriage.
Yeah, even if it's not going on right now, the minute this season is over, they need to have that conversation. Like, hey, these are the guys who are looking at. These are the guys that we're going to target. This is how we're going to go get them. If we can get them, we want you to stay. If we can't get them, we understand that there's nothing that we can do. But that dialogue has to be open. And part of me believes it is, just because him and Michael Jordan seem to have some type of connection. I didn't get the chance to talk to him about his relationship with MJ, but it seems like they have some type of connection. I think that dialogue is open. I think it's going to need to be a lot more transparent once the season is over, because he's going to be out of there if they don't do something.
I would have been curious to know, too, just like what Kemba's involvement was with discussions around the trade deadline, too. Like, why couldn't Mitch and Mike pull him aside and be like, hey, you know, Kemba, look, man, you know, we can't get Memphis to budge off this, you know, protected first round pick, or we can't get these protections or whatever. Like, you know, we're trying for you, but we're also looking that, hey, if you stay with us here, like, we might want this first round pick, or we might want Malik Monk to be a part of it. And I'd be curious to know just how much, you know, was he just being left alone to play basketball, or how much, again, if you're considering this guy to be a part of the future of your franchise, and he might be a $221 million investment and an asset for your team, I'd like to think that he has to have some sort of say or idea or kind of some inkling of what's going on. But yeah, this will become the choice. This will become a bit of a Sophie's choice, like for Kemba and the Hornets this summer, because while the money may not make, you know, like a big difference, you know what I mean, to him, and we can say that. And I think it speaks true with Kemba. He hasn't complained once about being woefully underpaid the last 4 years of the second contract. But like, if he makes all NBA, which it seems like he's going to probably do, the difference in money between that contract, which again, for most teams that have signed one of their own players to the Supermax, you think of John Wall in DC, that hasn't really worked out so well. But the difference in between that dollar amount and what he could get from another NBA team is like $80 million.
A lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And for a guy that has been underpaid, I think we can all agree on that the last 4 years. 100%. I do wonder if, yes, we agree it is not all about the money with this guy. And this guy wants to win games. That's a lot. That is the hammer that the Hornets have, whether it's good for the long-term sustainability of the franchise or not. That, at least in the summer of 2019, is the hammer they can always play with Kemba.
It's true, but at the same time, you have to think, there's a precedent of guys turning that type of money down. Anthony Davis isn't going to take it. Paul George didn't take it. Paul George got traded and then somehow signed for less. I think he signed 4 years, $140 million, when he could have had a lot more. And then Kemba's over there. He says that he doesn't really care about money, but I mean, we won't know how much he cares until he decides where he wants to go. I had something else along my, oh yeah. Speaking of his involvement with the front office, I don't know if he had any input on the trade deadline. I do know that he went on the jump. He went on the jump with Rachel Nichols, and he said, hey, you know, they know. He said I think Rachel asked him, hey, what is it that you want? You know, he said, hey, the front office knows. They just have to get it done. And that didn't sound like a money thing. That sounded like what he told me. He told me that he wants to play with some winners. And he wants Charlotte to get some winners. So if that's the message to Charlotte's front office and they can find a way to do that, I think they make it work. So it would be great if he got a chance to stay, because we don't see that many stars get drafted by teams and then stay with that team. You know, I think the last one we can remember is Kobe. Before that, we don't really know. Maybe Dirk's obviously another one, but those types of guys are rare. For Kemba to be drafted there and then stay there and then have a great career, then ultimately maybe win there, would be an amazing story given where he's come from.
All right, last question before we let you go, Christian. So we're talking about the Supermax, and for Kemba to earn or be eligible for the Supermax, he could be the NBA MVP. That ain't happening. He could be the Defensive Player of the Year. That ain't happening. But he can be on the All-NBA team in his most recent season before his contract runs out. And let's just discuss just the guards, guys. Just the guards for the all NBA teams. Can we all agree that Curry and Harden, first team all NBA?
Sure.
Yep. Yes. No okay. doubt.
So
no
now
doubt.
Now we're down to four more guard positions. So the second team and third team are left. I think that we can also say maybe Dame is going to be on there, and then
no doubt.
And then the conversation starts with Westbrook and Kyrie and Ben Simmons and Bradley Beal, and then also Kemba Walker.
Yeah, I think people who've been watching the NBA pretty closely know Kyrie and Russell Westbrook are not having their best seasons. You know, Russell Westbrook is having an awful shooting season, but he's also averaging a triple-double, which doesn't make sense. It really doesn't.
Third and then straight.
Kyrie is having a very rocky season. We don't know where he's going to be next year. And then he's also mouthing off in the media. When you talk about an all-NBA type of guy and someone who's kind of honed their game and someone who's just like your prototypical type of star, Kemba's the guy that you want. And I'm pretty sure he's going to end up in one of those. Either if not second team, definitely third team. I don't think there's anyone that you could put above. I don't think you put Ben Simmons in front of Kemba Walker. That just doesn't make sense to me. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any more guards that you put ahead of him. You don't put Klay Thompson ahead of him.
No.
You don't put who else was in the Eastern Conference also. You don't put D'Angelo Russell. You don't put Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's having a good season, but you don't put him in front of Kemba Walker. Yeah, no. I can't really think of that many guys you put over Kemba Walker this year. And that's crazy because not too long ago he couldn't shoot a three, and now he's an all-star starter, and it's amazing.
Injuries have played a big role here too, right? Like Oladipo going down. Then Wall goes down, which is going to probably inflate Beal's value too. So it's interesting. You know, Chris Paul missed a bunch of games for Houston, and he's been great recently, but he missed too much time probably. Yeah. And so it is interesting to see how, and those are guys that are, you know, all in parts of their career have been all NBA guys. And it's sort of interesting how the ripple effect of that, of John Wall getting injured, Oladipo having a severe injury, Chris Paul getting hurt again, like, the downstream effect could be the Hornets, you know, being tasked with paying Kemba Walker $220 million, too. It's, I mean, the NBA is crazy how everything is interconnected.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I to be honest, I think if the Hornets had a plan, hey, we don't want to give you $221 million because we want to go after this guy, can you take a little bit less? I think he says that. I think he'll do it if they have a concrete plan to do so. Maybe it's incentives. Maybe, okay, if we don't get this guy, then we add more. I don't know how that situation works. But I can definitely see Kemba Walker taking a pay cut if it means getting a star or a third star in there. Because 2 years, or the year after the next, I believe, that cap space is open.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you guys are make a lot of moves.
Not a great free agency class as of right now, but yeah, like that is in theory, that's when the Hornets should finally loosen up and, you know, no Bismack Biyombo, no Marvin Williams. That's assuming they don't like stretch Biz this summer to do other stuff as well.
That would not be a wise decision to add any more.
Agreed. Yeah. But it's like if they wanted to bring back Kemba and Lamb, that's like one way they could, like, if you squint hard enough, they could maybe do it. But yeah. Probably not worth it or in the cards.
Yeah, I hear that.
No, yeah, I mean, this is a huge all-NBA season for the media. The ones that have the votes, this is going to impact the course of certain franchises for years to come. So, you know, it's going to be close with these guards. I think Kemba's in as of today, but honestly, there's a lot left to play for throughout the league between Kemba, Beal, Irving, Westbrook. And I'm leaving one more name out there. I mean, I think there's like four spots for those five guys. And I think Kim is in right now, but that, you know, that can change within the course of a few nights here. So
I sense among most media guys that I've been able to speak about, that I've been able to talk to, when I was in Philly, there was a lot of media there for Kemba's game there. And he not only did he go off, I mean, they lost, but he earned the respect of a lot of media members that night. And got people more often than not, game recognizes game. People understand that Kemba is an all-NBA player. I think with the exception of maybe Celtics media will vote for Kyrie over Kemba. Yeah, yeah. But I think for the most part, a lot of guys recognize that Kemba's having an all-NBA season. And they know that, you know, we're not stupid. We know all-NBA votes count towards your contract. And most guys know Kemba's ridiculously paid. So I'm pretty sure he'll be in. I would be surprised. I'd be very surprised if he wasn't an all-NBA player.
Well, thanks again, Christian, for taking time out of your busy day to join us. Go ahead and give the Twitter handle one more time to our listeners before you go.
Yes, you can find me at sbnation.com/NBA, especially if you're into just random NBA fun stuff, like guys who eat random things for food and whatnot. But Yeah, twitter.com/chrisplash. That's K-R-I-S-P-L-A-S-H-E-D. Or if you just type in Christian Winfield with a K, my name will pop up.
All right, after the break, we'll get to the Hornets' win over the Spurs. Life can be stressful, but getting life insurance shouldn't be. That's why there's Ethos. Ethos is a modern kind of life insurance that's super fast, incredibly affordable, and very uncomplicated. At getethos.com, there are no medical exams for policies covering under $1 million, no hours of paperwork or meetings with pushy representatives. It only takes 10 minutes to apply, and you can rest assured knowing you've taken steps to protect your family, and in most cases with Ethos, you can have that peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee a day, with no hidden fees. Having life insurance can free you from stress. Getting life insurance shouldn't cause it. Discover how uncomplicated life insurance can be at Ethos. Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to getethos.com. That's E-T-H-O-S. Getethos.com. Getethos.com. All right, so that was our guest, Christian, but we're going to go ahead and talk about the game that we just witnessed. The Charlotte Hornets beat the San Antonio Spurs for their fourth straight win. They're giving fans a little bit of hope, teasing us that they could potentially make the playoffs. You know, it's going to come down to those last games. I really feel like that's going to be the case. And seems like, you know, the Hornets are starting to play these younger players and things are starting to click. People are playing loose and they're picking up these victories. Again, the final score was 125-116. It went into overtime. There's so many things that we can talk about. The young players are obviously putting in the work, playing well. Bridges, Bacon had an amazing game. And then obviously Kemba Walker, very fitting that we're talking about him to start this episode. But he killed it in overtime, scoring 11 points, outscoring the Spurs, who only scored 10. So you guys can lead this off and talk about anything that you guys would like. But, I mean, this game was – you can go anywhere.
You can. I just want to start with Dwayne – well, you can start with Kemba Walker or Dwayne Bacon. But I want to start with Dwayne Bacon because this is the most unexpected, like, late-season development that I can remember, certainly for this franchise. But – It's up there with like the Bruno Caboclo Memphis development right at the end of the year, like in terms of just like what in the hell is going on, like where did this come from? A guy that spent, you know, the majority of his career with our G League affiliate in Greensboro, put up pretty good numbers there, but has never come up to the NBA for a significant amount of time and really shown or proven that he can be a rotational player. And all of a sudden here in the last, you know, 10 games or so, Dwayne Bacon looks like a real NBA player. A career night for him tonight with 24 points. He's shooting the three at the high level. He's getting to the bucket at a high level. He's getting to the foul line. He's contributing defensively. He rebounds the basketball. You know, he's fitting into these smaller James Borrego defensive lineups as a little bit of a jackknife, if you will. Very versatile. I can't remember the last time, seriously, that I was this happy about the development of a player for Charlotte, because I mean, it's not a huge pivot looking over the next two or three seasons for Charlotte. But when you consider Miles Bridges, Devontae Graham, you know, if Monk can wake up a little bit, I mean, here's another young player on a roster that's void of, or has been traditionally void of those guys on a cheap contract that is now producing at an extremely high level recently. Now, is it an outlier? You know, certainly can be. It's a small sample size, but he's done this against great competition. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you just really can't say enough about what Dwayne Bacon has brought to this team. Just a jolt of athleticism and versatility. And look, he's done it in the place of an absent Nick Batum, and I wouldn't say that that's coincidental.
Yeah, I mean, his willingness to attack a closeout is really refreshing on this team. It really is. To pump and be willing to put it on the deck hard and go all the way to the rim, that's just something you just don't, you know, a lot of the wings on this team, even second side offensive weapons like Lamb, who's pretty good, like even he doesn't, you know, like he wants to, like, you know, get to his little floater game and use that wingspan of his and, you know, like that, or even he's probably more comfortable coming off a handoff from the corner and going, you know, right to left, as opposed to just like attacking a straight closeout. And that's what Bacon, you know, like he, That's what this guy does. And you look at some of his box scores last 10 games, and it's like, it's just wild. Like the Philadelphia game the other week, 11 free throw attempts in that game. Tonight versus San Antonio, game high, plus 15, 4-7 on threes. The Toronto game, 5-8 shooting on threes, 7-14 from the court. He's 20 points in that game, 24 points tonight. The Boston game on Saturday, 20 or plus minus of 20, 4-10 shooting, 11 points, 4 free throw attempts. Like, we've talked all season about how Batum's sort of his inability to get to the free throw line. He's basically been hovering right at one free throw attempt per game. Well, like, I just listed off every box score Dwayne has the last couple of games, and it's 4 free throw attempts, 2, 4, 2, 11, 0, 3, 2. Like, he's given them the three-point shot. That seems like a little bit of an aberration, right? Yeah. Like, that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, guys, unfortunately, I don't think Dwayne Bacon's going to shoot 59% on threes for the rest of the season. It'd be really cool if he would. But it's the ability and the willingness to attack on that. And even tonight, too, 3 steals and a block, like 4 stocks in this game, too. Like, he was just outstanding. And when they subbed him back in for Devontae Graham with, like, the 2 or 3 minute mark in the fourth quarter, it made a big difference carrying them home. And then, I mean, hell, the dribble-up three, the pull-up three that he hit late in the game was just, that was one of those moments where, like, you see with the Hornets when they get in these tight games and they need one other person to make a play. It's been Tony Parker a couple times this year. Usually it's nobody and they lose. And Dwayne Bacon dribbles up into a pull-up three and drills it. It was just awesome to see.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was like at the TV, he's like, please drive, take him off the dribble. And then he just pulls up in his face to make the three. He hit like 3 difficult threes in this game. He had that one. And then in the first half, like basically 2 identical threes where he did like a sidestep in the corner. Pump fake, sidestep, and hits the – it's basically identical three. Like it was basically in the same spot. But you're right, Brian, in terms of attacking the rim. I don't think it necessarily was in his game too much last season. He did settle a lot in the mid-range. I think it kind of – over the summer and then obviously this year, he's getting and attacking the rim a whole lot more. And he's finishing around the rim at a high rate. And like you said, he's getting his hands in the passing lane as well, getting those steals. He had this one defensive possession where he actually was guarding DeRozan in the post. He forces a miss. The offensive rebound came with LaMarcus Aldridge, and then LaMarcus Aldridge tries to pass the ball out. He steals it, splits the defenders, and takes it all the way coast to coast. So just these things that you're seeing out of Bacon is just awesome to see, especially late in the season. And I kind of tweeted this out. I kind of was doing it for more of a reaction more than anything. As of now, do you guys have more hope in Bacon or Monk?
I don't know how you couldn't say Bacon right now. I mean, look, I understand we picked Monk as high as we did, and he was deemed the next savior of Charlotte basketball or whatever. But like at this point in time, Bacon is the much more comfortable NBA player on the floor. There's no question about that. Yeah. And that's really what my favorite part of Dwayne Bacon's game is. You can't speed him up. You can't. The guy's, he knows where he wants to get. He knows where his sweet spots are. He already has very polished moves, I would say. We talked about it. The sidestep three that's a move it takes guys 4, 5, 6 years to learn in this league. And I mean, and he's doing it with regularity right now, at least attempting it. They're not always going in, but man, that guy's got a really smooth game and he's comfortable out there. And defensively, I'm proud of his progression and a little surprised, to be honest, especially since I've watched him play here in the month of March. But look, at this point, it's got to be Dwayne Bacon. All right. I mean, Malik Monk might have the higher ceiling, blah, 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 whatever. Dwayne Bacon's a better NBA player right now, period.
Yeah, right now, and no doubt. And it's a funny time to even broach the subject because everyone's just snorting and high on Dwayne Bacon after what he just did the last couple of weeks here. It is important to remember he's 2.5 years older than Malik Monk. Like, he'll turn 24 in August. Malik Monk turned 21 back in February, so he's 30 months older than Malik Monk. So that is part of it. But yeah, look, that outside of that, right now, man, like the poise, the simplicity and the poise of his game offensively is really nice so far this season. 42% of his shots have been at the rim. That's a good number. 25% of his attempts have been from three. That's not huge, but put that together and you've got 67-68% of his shots are threes or at the rim, with 12% of his field goal attempts coming from the corners. Like, you're seeing the framework of like a nice second side player. And yeah, no, like right now, again, he'll have to come back to earth at some point with the 3-point shooting, but it's the other stuff that you guys talked about, the defense, the rebounding, the willingness to attack, like that's big. And that's the kind of stuff that Charlotte needs more of alongside Kemba Walker. He's not afraid of the moment. And look, man, kudos to the Hornets in 2017 for drafting this guy, for getting his rights, right? Like he's signing him to a 3-year contract. I know that that third year is an option, but a 3-year contract, so you get his bird rights and, you know, potentially. And, nah, man, it's been fun. He's had two little because he had a moment back at like in, around the holidays last year too, the same season, but last year where he perked up for a couple of games. And I think it's probably a credit to Bacon, the coaching staff. And as those guys said during the broadcast too, like the fact that the Greensboro G League affiliate isn't like a joke anymore, right? Like that they're taking it serious. Like it's important to your franchise. It's an asset. And I think the fact that Devontae Graham and Dwayne Bacon are coming in and playing big minutes this late in the season when the Hornets, you know, maybe the odds are not great for them making the playoffs, but when they need these guys, they're ready to play. And I think that's a testament to the Hornets for the first time ever, literally ever, taking the G League affiliate seriously.
Great. It's an awesome point. And it points to, you know, what kind of asset that is and how far it's come since it started. But, you know, what a refreshing thing to happen for this franchise and its fans as you pretty much stare at the reality of Jeremy Lamb signing elsewhere this summer. To have Dwayne Bacon, you know, who 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, nobody would have thought, oh, it's fine. Yeah, we got Dwayne Bacon who's going to just gobble up those minutes next year. Nobody was thinking that. And here we are thinking, yeah, we're going to talk a long-term contract with this guy the summer after next. So it's awesome. Good for Dwayne Bacon. Good for the Hornets organization developing this kid. It really could pay some dividends.
Yeah, Spencer, do you know off the top of your head what the trigger date is for the Bacon option next year? Do you remember by any chance?
Yeah, it's August the 1st.
August the 1st trigger date for Bacon. Kind of nice.
This year,
like,
2019.
Yeah, it's like a month after, you know, you start a free agency. That's kind of nice. And that option would be for about $1.62 million for next season. So, you know, that would be a pretty nice thing. Again, if he could be 80 to 90%, you know, 75 to 80% of what you're seeing right now constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a nice bargain thing to have coming off the bench helping a second unit offense too.
Well, you know, and here's the other thing about Dwayne Bacon is that you got to assume his role is going to take a serious uptick next season if he continues to develop and show some signs of being a real NBA player, which I think he can. I think he will. You know, when Charlotte has Biombo come off the books, MKG come off the books, Parker.
Marvin.
Who else? Marvin. Yeah, Marvin. Hernan Gomez, potentially. That's going to be a big summer for them. And then, so when they're talking turkey with Dwayne Bacon to bring him back on some kind of deal, you know, they got his full bird rights, which Brian brought up, and his qualifying offer is about $2 million. So his cap hold is going to be so small that summer. It's also a huge asset for Charlotte to go ahead and take care of business elsewhere and come back to Bacon in the end. And fill out the roster. It's those smart NBA moves that you see guys, you know, see these deals happen on second round picks often, and they ended up paying off. And then it's that cap hold in their free agent summer that you really look at, and you're like, man, that is a big time asset this summer because we have cap space to use.
In general, too, it's not just Bacon. It's been awesome to see. I mean, I know Malik has still been, you know, he's still a lost puppy out there sometimes, but he's hit some corner threes. And I think the offense is actually, you know, they've been trying to work him and get him some looks from the corners more the last couple of games because his volume from there was way, way down compared to his above the break numbers. But that said, all the other young guys, it's been really cool to see. Bridges has seemed to, again, small sample size alert, but he's been great the last couple of games. And offensively, he was huge to start tonight. And then defensively, he made some big plays down the stretch, including a block on DeRozan that he recovered from being down on the ground earlier in the possession and got back and blocked the shot at the hoop, which was awesome. Devontae Graham's been good. We mentioned him earlier, too. And just it's been the irony in it seemed like the Hornets were sort of resigning themselves to the fate, which, hell, I know I was certainly all in on them doing, and now I'm having mixed feelings, obviously. Like, I think a lot of people probably are. That they started playing the young guys, and now the team is fast and athletic, and there's more playmakers out on the court. And, like, you could just see what Kemba could do when – say what you will about Frank Kaminsky, but playing a stretch five with Kemba and multiple playmakers out there, whether it be Devontae Graham or Dwayne Bacon or Miles Bridges at the three or at the four, it's like, oh, my God. Like, they look like a – man, they look like an actual, like, NBA franchise should look. Well, I'd love to see what Cody Zeller would look like with all the young guys flying around, too, to be honest with you now.
And these are against playoff teams, too.
Yep. And then counteract, you know, playing Kaminsky big minutes, I've been very impressed with Borrego. Well, Borrego's been trying creative stuff all year. We've talked about this. But now that he's younger, he's athletic, he's quicker, he's faster. There's just more energy on the floor. You know, he's able to do things like a 1-2-2 full, literally a full court, you know, pretty much a trapping press that goes back into a 2-3. And the Hornets really are. I mean, they showed it to San Antonio, I don't know, off the top of my head, 3 or 4 times tonight. And it was very, very effective, at least a few turnovers. But the point is, when you have a guy like Frank on your back line, if you could do something creative to not allow an offense to really get into their set until there's 14, 15 seconds left on the shot clock. All right, now you got something. Now we're playing faster. Now we're letting our guys be athletes, getting to passing lanes, grab and go. I mean, that opens the game up for everybody. Mm-hmm. Sure, Kemba Walker, because, you know, now they're getting stops with a lineup that should have defensive deficiencies to be better offensively, but it's allowing guys like Miles Bridges, Jeremy Lamb, Dwayne Bacon to grab the ball off the glass, you know, with the offense that's been scrambling and go. And we've seen that constantly here in the past 5 games with this team. Real quickly, the Hornets in the past 5 games, 4-1, trying to save their season here, have had issues with turnovers most of the season. Number one in the NBA, 2.95 assist to turnover ratio in the last 5 games, which made me raise my eyebrow a little bit. Net rating in these last 4 games, or last 5 games, obviously against what, at least half playoff teams, +4, it's number 8 in the NBA. This is with a young group. Mm-hmm. Look, it is a small sample size, but these are not empty numbers. I would never consider this stuff to be empty calories. If they would play Cleveland 3 times and Phoenix twice, of course, we would be looking at this differently. But they're getting wins on the road. They're getting wins against teams that have been talked about maybe making the NBA Finals. They get a win tonight against a San Antonio team that's arguably the hottest in the league. Like, this is real stuff.
That Toronto was at full health Sunday night, too. Lowry played, Kawhi played, Gasol's, like, integrated now. Like, they were at full strength, you know what I mean? And the Hornets, I know they won on a miracle. Like, the lamb shot is just, you know, an act of God. But they played, they hung. I mean, they were in control of that game for large stretches, too. Like, they deserved that. That wasn't, like, a slop win, you know what I mean? Like, they played hard. They played well. Yes, the last possession was fortunate, very fortunate. But like that was a real win on the road on the second night of a back-to-back against, I don't know, one of the 3 or 4 best basketball teams in the world, you know, with their full complement of players. It was impressive.
Yeah, it just looks like a group that instead of for what most of the season seemed like a group of guys that was reacting behind the play, to now looking like a team that's reacting with the play or reacting before the play happens. I mean, that sometimes basketball can be boiled down to something that simple. How quickly are you reacting to what's going on around you? And this group, this young athletic group, surprisingly, is reacting above the play most of the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, watching a bunch of these old guys, you know, and Nick Batum, who constantly, to me, seems like he's reacting behind the play. Look, I'm not trying to hang Nick Batum out to dry here, but there is a very, very clear difference in what we're seeing on the floor now than what we had for most of the season. And I do not believe that's a coincidence. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't say so either. And Tony Parker was available to play tonight, and he didn't get any minutes. He got a DNP. So Borrego going with Devontae over Parker. I was actually a little bit scared that Parker was going to be able to play tonight and Borrego would play him. So they're playing the hot hand, which happens to be the young guys. And Spencer, like you said, They are playing ahead of the play, be outside of like the second quarter on defense at spurts. But for the most part, they played pretty well on the defensive end. They were putting in effort, scrambling, yes, a little bit, but they were making the Spurs work. So the Hornets again won this one 125-116 to boost their record to 35-39, and also tonight the Magic beat the Heat, which actually helps out the Hornets in terms of kind of closing that gap between the Hornets and the Heat. The Heat are at 36-37. The Magic are 36-38. And then the Hornets are 35-39. So they're a game and a half back from the eighth seed, two games back in the loss column. And then the Hornets right now currently have a four-game road trip, which they're going to be playing the Lakers, the Warriors, Utah, and the Pelicans. So it's going to be tough. I mean, to split them, I could see it very well happening, but four games on the road is always tough for this team. Any parting thoughts before we wrap this episode?
Just since we talked about Kemba with Christian earlier in the episode, and then we sort of talked about the Hornets' hot streak. You know, he didn't play great in the Toronto game, but let's real quickly, the San Antonio box scores of Kemba's is worth looking at again. 14 of 31. Lived at the rim, just 2 of 8 on threes, but 8 of 11 from the free throw line, 11 assists, 9 rebounds, just 2 turnovers. In the fourth quarter in overtime, Kemba plays 14 minutes. Hornets score 1.3 points per possession with him on the court in that time. Kemba, 50% usage rate in overtime and the fourth quarter, assist rate of 75%. Effective shooting 71.4, and a defensive rebound rate in those minutes in overtime in the fourth quarter for just Kemba of 22.2. Like, he was everywhere. And man, it was just another charmed performance from him tonight.
Yeah, I thought when he snagged that last rebound, I thought that was his 10th rebound to get that triple double, but it wasn't. So Is it 10? Is it 10? But anyway, thanks again for joining us for episode 96 of Buzz Beat. We'd also like to thank Christian Winfield for joining us. Give us a follow on Twitter at BuzzBeatPod. And be sure to give us a rating and review, preferably a 5-star rating, on iTunes. And I hope you guys have a good one, and we'll see you guys next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.